Welcome to the Racing Post Bloodstock Top Lots podcast, brought to you in association with Irish Thoroughbred Marketing. From the Cheltenham Festival to the Melbourne Cup, Irish Thoroughbreds will take you to the top. Irish Thoroughbred Marketing is your all-access pass to the world-leading Irish racing industry. Visit itm.ie to source your Irish champion. I'm Martin Stevens, and I'm joined by James Thomas. Hi, James. How are you?
I'm good, Martin. How are you?
Very well. And did you manage to back any of the winners of this weekend's classics?
I did not, no.
No, same here. But I did have a very small tickle each way on Mystery Angel, who I thought was clearly overpriced, and she ran as such. So I was glad about that, at least. Our guest this time is Bloodstock agent Ross Doyle. Ross is from a family of renowned talent scouts. His legendary grandfather, Jack, who once donned the green jersey to play rugby for Ireland and also rode and trained with great success, bought the brilliant Chaser Millhouse and champion hurdle scorer another flash over jumps, and the classic winners Bruni and M. Lulshan, and the champion sprinter Sanford Ladd on the flat. Jack's son Peter established his Bloodstock agency in 1978, and since then has brought a lengthy list of big race winners, including Dara Monarch, Homme de Loire, Indian Ink, Collier Hill, Paco Boy, Canford Cliffs, Dick Turpin, Olympic Glory, Lamarto, and Barney Roy, just to name a few. Ross himself played a significant role in many of those later purchases as he joined his father Peter's agency in the early noughties. The Doyles are best known perhaps for their highly successful association with Richard Hammond Sr. and Jr., but as I'm sure we'll find out, there's more to the agency than that. So welcome, Ross. How are you?
Good evening, lads. Great, thank you. Good to be here.
It's been a very productive week for your purchases. I know you've had winners left, right and centre, so I thought we'd go through some of those first. Although, actually, we'll start with a non-winner and actually a maiden overall, but that's Mojo Star, who ran an absolute stormer to finish second in the Derby. So what did you think of that run?
Oh, he ran an absolute blinder. I know it might have been a surprise to a lot of people, but Richard Hannan and his team and his owner, Kia from Ammo Racing, and they were extremely bullish going into the race, hence they ran him even when he was a maiden, but he seemed to justify the belief the lads have had in him for a long time now, since he was an unraced two-year-old. They were always very high in this horse, and it was just nice to see him put in such a good show in the Derby.
So he's a See the Stars colt, a half-brother to Portage or Portage, who won at Royal Ascot, and from the family of Rail Link, the Ark winner. And you bought him to go into Richard Hannan's stable for 220,000 guineas at book one of the Tattersall's October yearling sale. Can you just give us an insight into what sort of notes you would have had in your catalogue page when you saw him?
We actually, we bought him as a foal as well. He's down to us as a foal because he worked quite closely with Peerhouse Stud. And we were all mad about him as a foal, and because he was an absolute outstanding individual. He was down the wall boxes with Yeomanstown Lodge, and then he seemed to progress and just fill out and complete what you thought he was going to do as a foal, and he just became back as a stunning yearling. And I know the Moran family were very high on the horse going into the sales. And myself and my team and Anne and Peter and Carol, Patrick, etc., go around looking at these horses. He was a bit of a standout, obviously. Mm. And he actually, when he ran a newbie the first day, myself and Richard spoke afterwards, and we said he reminded us of a particular horse physically and just the way he travelled, and that was Canford Cliffs.
Really?
He was that sort of physique, very deep, naturally strong horse, lovely mover, wonderful temperament. He's obviously by a top-class sire. He's got a good pedigree, and he's had a very good upbringing in life. And fingers crossed, it's onwards and upwards, but it's wonderful for Ammo Racing and the Hannan team to have such an exciting horse.
And I guess you would have known from the pedigree and the physique that he would be a more middle distance horse in time. Is it fair to say that you wouldn't buy quite so many middle distance horses for Richard Hannan, because perhaps maybe unfairly we associate him more with sprinters, milers? Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a sort of stigma there saying that's the type of horse you buy. But I know we tried, not intentionally, but we just like to buy a nice type of horse. And over the years, we probably end up buying an awful lot of horses that sort of medium-sized, strong, sharp-looking horses by good, tough stallions with a bit of speed. But when you see a horse like him, sometimes you think it's all stacking up. You're not really going to be able to afford him. But we were lucky that Kia put his trust in us to find him some nice horses. And it's very nice to be able to buy a horse like him, because sometimes you walk into the chute there in Newmark and you go, oh, I hope we don't get run over here. You see all the big faces, big names walking around, lurking outside. It's just it's very enjoyable when you actually secure a horse like him, and then when you get a phone call from the trainer the following year and he thinks, says this could be a bit special, and then he's hopefully gone and fulfilled a lot of his potential. But I think, judging by the way the lads are talking, there's a lot more to come, hopefully.
Yeah, they're talking about the Irish Derby next for Mojo Star.
Yeah, I know it's been muted, but I wouldn't be involved in the race planning or anything, but I'm sure Richard Kia and his team, Ross O'Ryan, who's been with Richard for a long time, who's now retained by Ammo, they'll all put their input in. And obviously David Egan gave him a wonderful ride the weekend, so I'm sure he'll be putting his feedback as being taken on board as well.
And then also on Saturday, you were represented by Oh This Is Us, probably one of the most popular winners actually at the whole Epsom Classic meeting. He won his 16th race in the Group 3 Diomed Stakes. He's an 8-year-old by acclamation, and you paid €110,000 for him at the Goffs Orby yearling sale. He's been just an absolute star for you and for Richard Hannon and all, for all connections, isn't he?
Yeah, he's an absolute legend, and he's a huge yard favourite and has been obviously for a long time, but he's getting close to probably one of the most loved characters in the yard that's been there for a long time. I know Paco Boy brought Richard Senior to tears many years ago and horses like that after his wins, but I think Otis, as he's affectionately known in the yard, I think he's having the same effect on all the people around him, and in particular Richard and all the team that look after him there day in, day out. He's a pleasure to have around the place, and his owners, Team Wallop, are having a fantastic run of it, and he's a horse of a lifetime.
So I know it's a long time ago now. I think it's back in 2014 when he was a yearling, but can you remember what stood out about him to you?
I remember him very well. He was up in Herbertstown Stud. Ronan Burns obviously comes from a wonderful family, the Burns family of top-class breeders and horsemen for a long time. And he's just one of those horses. He's probably a little bit more medium-sized. He wouldn't be as imposing as a Mojo Star. He'd probably be an inch smaller in height, but quite a compact horse. Probably the sort of horse that you mentioned there before, we were probably sort of known for buying. But interestingly, he was out of Shamari Lodge, who was a filly we had bought and raced at Richard. She was a very talented filly. She had just a little issue behind with a hind joint. She could have been very good, but she was a very talented filly. So he was the first foal, and he was a very nice horse. And he actually had a drop in his foot going into the ring, and Ronan stood over him. But thank God it all went the right way, because imagine giving a horse like him back, it would have been shocking to watch now. But
yeah,
the stars aligned for the lads and Team Wallop. They gave us an order, and luckily we found him. I think it was their first flat horse.
And I know you might not be directly involved with these decisions, but he's an 8-year-old entire. Dare we lead ourselves to believe that he might have a stallion career at some point ahead of him?
He's probably getting a little bit long on the tooth with that job. I wouldn't be surprised, though. You know, he'd be making a lovely stallion for somebody. So I don't think it's totally out of the question.
He's certainly by the right sire. A sire who you've had a great connection with over the years. And on that subject, another theme at Epsom over the last week and over at Belmont was the strange rise of Harbour Watch as a middle distance staying sire. And I just wanted to ask you about him, because you bought Harbour Watch years ago, another one of your success stories, 58,000 guineas yearling, by acclamation again, speed influence. He won the Richmond Stakes, and yet he's now been represented by Pile Driver, who won the Coronation Stakes over 12 furlongs, by Baron Samedy, who won the Belmont Cup over 2 miles. Was there anything about his physique that you remember, or anything you heard about his homework, that would have given you any clue that he would be able to get these distance horses?
Yeah, he wasn't your typical acclamation, because when we were back then, even the first crop of acclamation, we bought 5 or 6 or 7, because we see every single horse in the sales and we get a good feel for what stallions are throwing. And we just really liked what we saw, and the Hannons agreed. And then the Hannons had wonderful success in the early days. And he came along then probably a season or two later, a bit longer, maybe acclamation had done plenty, but he was quite a big, weak individual. He was in the Goffs UK sale, and he was ornate, I think, or didn't make a reserve. And Rathbarry returned him into the December yearling sales, and he just filled out. But he was quite a bigger horse with a big frame. But that's probably where he's getting putting this bit of stamina into some of his progeny. And the pedigree would state that it's no surprise he could get a good middle distance to staying type of horse.
Yeah, there's that classic quality in there, isn't it? It's a full Aspen clan, isn't it?
He was a big boy now. If you remember him as a 2-year-old, I remember running in, he ran the July meeting in either a maiden or a conditions race, and his saddle slipped back. But he was a big boy when he came in as a 2-year-old, imposing horse, quite unusual for an acclamation, but still had plenty of qualities.
Now, still on this acclamation kick, you also bought Memas at the Craven Breeze Up sale for 170,000 guineas. He turned into a fantastic sprinting two-year-old for Al-Shakab Racing. Now he's gone to Tally Ho Stud and is turning into a brilliant young sire. He, Supremacy, Minz Allen, and in the last week, Magnanimous and Memento all winning for him. And I think I've counted up about three first-time winners by Memast that you and your father bought just in the last week. And funnily enough, they've all got sort of connections to other horses that we've been talking about. So let's start with Secret Strength, who won a Musselburgh Conditions race on Saturday, only by a neck, but it was a very cozy neck in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, lovely physical, very like his dad. A little bit of scope, medium-sized. Bought him from Con Moran, Bantia House Stables. The Moran family have a wonderful reputation for selling very good horses from the Breeze Up sales. Myself and Richard just fell in love with him. He reminded us a lot of his dad, but maybe just a little bit bigger. He did a nice breeze, good action. He seemed to have a wonderful temperament. We went to see him two or three times. And we actually bought him on spec like two crazy lunatics that night because we fell in love with him. And it was very good that Kia came along when we mentioned to him and said he'd take him. And I know Richard was quite disappointed in his first two runs. He thinks an awful lot of that horse. And he just lost his back end twice in the dip in Newmarket the first day and probably beaten by a decent animal. Went to York. He was a bit unlucky. The horse went down the stalls beside him and lashed out a couple of times. He was taken out, trotted up, and he ran. But he ran respectable, but he just didn't. They were disappointed. But he probably showed his true colours on at the weekend. And I think he probably beat a horse that's fairly highly regarded by the Kevin Ryan stable. But I know Richard likes Secret Strength a lot and thinks he's got an awful lot of ability. Where he'd end up, I'm not sure, but he was always very keen on him. Even the first few days he came back from the sales, like Comrade Nance and all those good Breeze Up men, you wouldn't know and he'd been to a Breeze Up sale. A bit like Maymass when he came home from John Cullinan's and Roger Marley's when we bought him, he was the same. All he wanted to do was put his head down, eat grass, canter, but none of this jig-jogging down to the start. That makes a huge difference to these horses. And
that's a quality you want in a stallion, isn't it?
Massive, temperate, serious thing. And the fact that Tally Ho are standing him and supporting him massively since day one is a big help as well.
Yeah. So another Memast then, who you bought and won in the last week, was a three-year-old gelding, Cooperation. Now, interestingly, he is
quite closely related to...
Yes, he's the half-brother to Shamwari Lodge, and Shamwari Lodge is the dam of Mojo Star, isn't it?
No, this is us. It's all very...
Oh, this is us.
Dam of Oh, This Is Us. So he was very closely related. We bought him as a yearling off Pier House Stud. He showed loads early on as a two-year-old and was a bit disappointing, lost his way, but it was good to see him win the other day. And it's a good family, but it's good to see another Maymass horse win that we actually bought. So that was very good. And we actually bought Minzal as a foal with Kieran Conroy from... Glenvale Stud, we bought him from Derek Veach's breeder, so we were lucky to be involved with him. He's a gorgeous horse. He was a very good two-year-old.
And then the third Memast horse who won in the last week was Clarendon House, who was a Breeze Up purchase, but he's only just started at Yarmouth. He made his debut at Yarmouth last week, and he won fairly easily over five furlongs for Robert Cowell and Midland Park. So would you infer then that he had a bit of a hold-up last year?
Just a little bit of a hold up. Things weren't, he didn't get a smooth road, unfortunately, which can happen sometimes. You need a lot of luck with these horses, but he always had plenty of ability. It's just he had to channel it in the right way. And I think he did that the other day in Yarmouth. Robert on his team have obviously done a good job there. And it's good to see him win first time out for his owners who put a lot of faith in him when we bought him at the Breeze Up sales as a 2 year old.
So you're in rare old form then with all your purchases at the moment. And James, the sales expert, is going to ask you a bit more about your approach and methodology at the sales.
Yeah, well, there aren't many sales that you and your father aren't active at, are there really? I mean, between flat foals, yearlings, two-year-olds, mares, and then, you know, even on the national hunt side as well with stores and point-to-pointers. I just wondered if you could give us a bit of an insight into sort of how your process differs sale by sale.
Yeah, when I started working the business full time with my parents, they always had a process which they stood by for a long time, was they'd see every single horse they could in every sale they attended. And we have a good team, as I said, obviously Anna, Peter, myself, Carol Tinkler, Patrick Kyo, Catherine Greensett, Andrew Hickman's on board now, Fanny Hannon helps us out. So at the big sales, when there's huge numbers, it's a huge help. So we'll narrow the horses down. We'll obviously look at the catalogues, look at the pedigrees, familiarise ourselves. It could be family members in there. We've had luck before, stallions we like. And then we go out, take our patches, and we look at every single horse day by day. we meet in the evening. The team will give myself and Peter their short list for us to go back and look at. They've liked physically, walking, etc. And then myself and Peter will narrow it down when we go back again to the short list that we'll show our clients. And the criteria we really go for there, we're not obsessed with pedigree, because pedigree then becomes probably the valuation side of it if you have a very nice horse. So we've got to find the physical, the individual. That's the way I was always taught. And the physical is the most important thing. You want temperament, movement, just a nice, naturally strong horse.
Yeah. I mean, the word temperament's come up quite a lot already in this conversation. I mean, obviously, you know, when you go to the sales and you're inspecting horses, you have a very limited window of time to assess these horses. What sort of things are you looking for that would be an indicator of good temperament, or, you know, conversely, things that might put you off as make you think a horse isn't so well tempered?
The majority of the good horses that we've mentioned before there and discussed, they literally walk straight out of the door with their head down and swagger into a standing position. That's colt or filly. Over the years, I've noticed that. And they stand still when they're asked to stand. And when they walk, they drop down, they glide away. And they have a bit of a swagger and swing to them. And usually every time you go back, they're doing the same thing. And they're the horses you want to get. And if they're coming from a very good home, it's obviously a bonus. You know, most horses come from very good homes nowadays. The game is very competitive, so they usually get a very good upbringing. But that's a major factor, is in how they behave. And then the last to tick the box, obviously get horses better, but the last ticking of the box is when they're walking around the pre-parade ring, and that's as close you probably get to mirror imaging a race course and getting ready to go out to the track. There's hustle bustle, there's more horses walking around. And that's a great place to watch horses, to see if they can stay relaxed and move and keep their head down and behave when they're pulled in and out, or if something gets loose and they don't get too upset, you know?
I mean, like, would you ever get to the point where you were sort of crossing a horse off your list based on what you saw in the parade ring, or perhaps even in the sales ring, or, you know?
Yeah, it's happened a few times. If they're misbehaving, jig-jogging, won't walk and relax, they keep on jig-jogging every couple of steps. It puts you off, you get a bit worried. Bar there's something serious happening around them, but if it's just a nice calm atmosphere and they can't settle down and relax, because they're up there usually 10 lots before they go in, so that's probably half an hour. So half an hour is a long time, so a horse should be able to relax pretty quickly after 5 minutes if it means business.
Yeah. And you mentioned the sort of the rise in the standard of consigning at the sales. Does that make your life that bit harder when everyone's presenting their horses at such a high level these days?
It does, actually. Yeah, it's very competitive, and we're our competitors, stroke friends, stroke whatever you want to call them, agents, trainers, we see on the circuit the whole time. There's a huge amount of very good people with a very good eye for a horse and very good at getting good results. So it's hugely competitive, but we're in it for a reason, because we love it, and we want to find a lot more good horses if we can for clients.
But is there a particular type of sale you're particularly keen on, although you really enjoy working?
Listen, I suppose we've been a bit sort of synonymous with the Goffs UK sale, this premier yearling sale. It used to be, I've been helping Donny for donkey's years, my grandfather, my father, the Hannans, other people like that. We've always had great success out of there. It's one of the earliest sales, but it usually works out that there's value there within reason. But it's been a very lucky sale for us. Listen, we've been lucky at a lot of sales, but consistency-wise over the years, we've been extremely lucky at a Goffs UK Premier Yearling Sale.
Yeah, very good. And we sort of touched on the stallion side of things as well. I know you said you tend to lean more towards the physical rather than the pedigree, but you mentioned looking at every single horse in the sale. Does that kind of help you get ahead and get a bit of an edge when it comes to assessing particularly the new stallions?
I suppose it's a big help to us, because I'd say it is probably a slight edge, but I don't know how many people actually do it. I've never found out, but we find it fantastic, because you get a great idea of what sires are stamping their stock like. And I think it gives you a huge advantage. We do the same thing at the foal sales, so especially with first season sires, it gives you a great idea what you like. Ribchest is probably a good example. In recent times, we really liked his stock and physically, the way they behave. He's obviously a good raised horse. Ifraj is a good sire of sires, and we've been lucky enough that hopefully Gisburn could fly the flag in Royal Ascot. He's by Ribchester from Goffs UK.
Very good. And obviously we touched on the Hannan connection already a little bit, but could you just give us a bit of background on to how that all started and how that sort of progressed through years and how that works nowadays?
Yeah, I think my father met Richard Sr. about 40-odd years ago. He was introduced to him by his father, Jack, because Jack was probably just easing down slightly at the time, and he thought it'd be a good idea, and he told Peter to go and meet Richard in Arcana, Deauville, of all places. Nice place to meet. And he introduced himself to Richard. He knew him, but he didn't know him very well at the, as he was coming from the races across the sales. And he said, I'd like to show you a few horses if you're interested. He said, I'm not buying any horses tonight. I'm going to buy a few drinks and that's it. Anyway, lo and behold, they went and bid on a couple of horses. I think they bought one maybe, but that was the start of it. And it's been a wonderful relationship. And we were over there recently for his 76th birthday. So that was nice. Himself and Peter got back together again.
And does it sort of make your life easier when you're trying to find these horses, you know, knowing what the trainer likes or what the trainer doesn't like, or, you know, what works for Richard?
Definitely, yeah. We don't waste their time, that's for sure, because there's long days at the sales. No matter what side of the fence you're on or what job you're in, it's a long day. You could be there from, you know yourself, 8 in the morning till 9 at night. So the last thing you want to do pre the sale starting is show them horses that there's no point in showing, they just don't physically suit them. So we'd be quite tight on what we show them list wise, and then they're very good. They sort of trust us and to try and show them the right horse, so they don't might not have to see every single horse before they gets up to the ring, but we'll try and get most of them seen.
And would it be fair to say that you and the Hannans have a slightly different system to a lot of agents and trainers, in that he sort of lets you just pick the horses, and there's a sort of set intake of yearlings each year, and you leave him to worry about divvying up the ownership once they're in the yard?
You're in it together most of the time. So, but they're amazing at buying horses on spec with clients, loyal clients over the years that build up. And it's sort of built a system in itself that's moved on from the early days when they were buying a handful together, Richard and Peter. But they always went back to try and sell these horses. They work extremely hard to sell the horses. So that's why they buy a horse they have to really like. Worst case scenario, if you're left with them, you'd be happy to pay for them and train them yourself. And that's where you get that standard of a particular horse. But they're wonderful salespeople. They're wonderful with owners. And obviously, they've got a wonderful staff. And the horses get the best grounding you could possibly get. So, but it can be fun. It can be nerve-wracking at times because, like a super strength or something like that, for example, when you put your neck on the line and you haven't got an owner, you just got to be a little bit careful sometimes. But you could have a sweaty few moments there thinking about who's going to take this horse.
I mean, how many yearlings would you have bought last year for Team Hannan?
Every year, anywhere from probably 75 to 100 would be usually the norm. We've been very lucky. It's stayed very consistent over the years, and even through some tough times. But there's a wonderful loyal base of client who understand the process, understand the system, and seem to like it. They seem to like that we put our necks in the line and buy these horses, and it probably gives them a bit of trust that we're not going to do that unless you really like them.
It's not all about Richard Hannan, is it? Because I know you've obviously done very well in the jump sphere with Lost in Translation, for example, and Father Peter, he has a good connection with Scandinavia. Can you just give a bit of an overview about what else you're doing for what other clients?
Yeah, Richard, for Scandinavia, for example, Peter and Vito Neuroth have been working together for over 20 years, and Vito's got a wonderful, has built a wonderful career. He's been Scandinavian trainer, Scandinavian champion multiple times. His son Jan Erik is riding for him a lot now. He's got some very good clients, Stahl Perlin, who Peter has been looking to buy some very good horses over the years for. They've been wonderful people to deal with. They like to buy more of a sort of a 7 furlong mile or a mile and a quarter horse. It just suits the program out there. But we had a horse we bought last year at the Goffs Breeze Up, who won the Swedish Derby trial by 12 lengths yesterday. We bought him off Yeomanstown Stud in the Breeze Up last year. He looks like a very exciting horse. And there's a filly called Thundery by Night of Thunder. She runs, I think, in the Guineas this weekend. She's one of the favourites. So, been a very lucky relationship over the years, but they're great people to work with. It's been built up over a long time.
And then on the jump side, it's the Goffs Land Rover sale this week, and I guess you'll be there because you do some work looking for points pointers or potential points pointers. Is that fair?
Yeah, we do a bit of that for clients and ourselves. Just keep some interest sometimes in pointer pointers with Johnny Fogarty, who trains them, and his brother Mikey helps out closely. And obviously, we work very closely with the Tizzards and do a bit of work with Paul Weber as well. So we've been there for the last 2 days, myself, Anne, and Peter, and Johnny Fogarty, and we've looked at every horse now for the first 2 days. So we'll go into battle tomorrow. We've been lucky out there before. We've got horses like Reserve, Tank, Tornado, Flyer. So it's been a good sale. And it looks pretty busy on the ground. Plenty of English people over, High Flyer, lots of trainers, etc. And plenty of point-to-point boys. So I'd say it'll be a competitive sale, and there's some lovely horses there.
And then the other big event on the horizon is Royal Ascot, of course, where you've had tremendous success over the years, including with Canford Cliffs, who won three years in a row. Who are your best chances this year? Would I guess, you mentioned Gisburn there. He was absolutely incredibly impressive at Newbury, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. Listen, the lads were very keen on him. He ran a nice race the first day, a little bit wayward, a little bit green, but he finished his race well, and then he fulfilled what the lads thought they were seeing at home. So fingers crossed he goes there, but I don't need to tell you guys it's a hard place to win races. So if we get a couple of winners out there, we'll be thrilled. I'm sure the owners will be as well. But it's a huge, huge few days. It's great to see owners back and some people going, the Royal Enclosure, etc. So it's massive for the game that people are back watching these wonderful horses from all over the world competing on the world stage.
Is another of your two-year-old purchases, Jukebox? I don't know if he's headed there. He's actually slightly under the radar because he wasn't visually very impressive. But when he won his Newbury Conditions race, he was very tough and the forms worked out quite well.
Yeah, he's very, very workmanlike horse. He's lazy at home. Richard will tell you that. It's no secret. But he seems to save his best work for the track. So where he's going to end up is going to be interesting. I know he's an entry there. I'm not sure if Richard and the owners have decided whether they're going or not or yet. I know he's an entry in the Railway Stakes, the Curragh, and probably some targets in the July meeting, but I think that's still to be decided. But he's a very nice horse. I think Secret Strength might end up going there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it race, but... And if nice, called Sows as well.
And then the other big Royal Ascot hope, I guess, is Chindit, who won the Champagne Stakes, won the Greenham Stakes, stayed on into fifth in the 2,000 guineas. Do you think he has shown us yet how good he actually is?
There's probably a little bit more to come. I think he was very impressive as a two-year-old. I think it's fairly common knowledge that Pat Dobbs and Richard don't think he really handled the undulations in Newmarket. That isn't beaten by good horse, but I think he's a very good horse and the track at Ascot will suit him. It's a very competitive race, but he deserves to be in the lineup, and I think he's currently 10-1, so he's got to have a massive chance if he turns up in top form.
Yeah, and he was a real bargain actually, because he was 65,000 guineas from book two, which has turned out to be a very good price for what he's done and his potential, especially as a Wootton Bassett colt with obvious stallion appeal as well. So
we were lucky. Wootton Bassett, sorry, he's a perfect example of a stallion we liked when we saw his first crop, and we bought a horse called Beat Levon. He was very talented.
Yeah.
A little bit quirky. I think Chindit's only the second horse we bought by Wootton Bassett, but we'll be big fans of the stallions. We can't really get our hands on at the minute. It's tough going. Like, he's standing in Coolmore now, so he's going to get massive support. He did very well while he was in France, but he's a sire we'd like a lot.
So what, with one thing or another, all those two-year-olds and Chindit, and I dare say you'll have something in the handicaps as well. It should be quite a big week for you, and we wish you every success. And thank you for taking part in the podcast. James, do you have any more questions before we signed off?
No, that's everything from me. I just want to say thanks for taking the time out to chat and giving us some interesting insights there.
Pleasure, lads. Good to talk.
Exactly. Okay, we'll bid you farewell and thank you, and we'll be back in touch for another Racing Post Bloodstock podcast sponsored by Irish Thoroughbred Marketing in the next few weeks.